In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. During Lent, one of the most notable prayers that we say is the prayer of St. Ephrem the Syrian. And the first part of that prayer says, O Lord and Master of my life, a spirit of idleness, despondency, ambition, and idle talking give me not. We often say prayers and don't think about the meaning of the words that we read, and we should take the time, if we're seeing a word in a prayer that we don't really understand, or we might think we understand but we're not sure, we should take some time to look into a little bit further to try to understand it. Most of those words are pretty self-evident, but I think the word despondency is often misunderstood. Despondency is defined as a state of low spirits caused by a loss of hope or courage. St. John Climacus, whose memory we celebrate today in the 13th step of his book, The Ladder of Divine Ascent, describes despondency thus. He says, despondency is a paralysis of the soul. He also says, despondency is one of the eight principal vices, and moreover, the gravest. St. John Cassian, in his conferences, talks about how different passions or vices have an affinity to one another and how they're connected. And he says the first six of the eight principal vices are connected like a chain. He says, from an excess of gluttony, there inevitably springs fornication. From fornication, avarice. From avarice, anger. From anger, sadness. And from sadness, despondency. When he talks about this, he's basically saying gluttony is the beginning of the chain, and gluttony is not just overeating or becoming, you know, fat or what have you. It's basically when you're feeding your bodily appetites, you're pampering yourself, you're focused on the pleasures of the flesh. That inevitably leads to fornication. That doesn't necessarily mean that you fall into the overt act of fornication, but it leads to at least fornication on a spiritual level in the mind. And fornication leads to avarice, which is greed. And avarice leads to anger. Why is that? Well, that's because we're never satisfied. When you give yourself over to gluttony, lust, and greed, you're never going to be satisfied. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor is the ear satisfied with hearing. If you watch some of these tabloid shows, which is probably not the most beneficial thing for you to do, but you'll see that many of the celebrities, you often wonder why they are not happy. You'll see a guy, some actor who's married to a supermodel, and you're wondering, well, what else could he want in life? And yet he winds up being caught with a prostitute or leaving her for someone else because he's never satisfied. And that's true of anyone who gives themselves over to these passions, because these things are never going to satisfy your deeper spiritual hunger, and so you just keep going back for more of the same of these things that are not going to satisfy you, and it makes you angry. But after you get past the anger, you fall into sadness. And then from sadness, you fall into despondency, this attitude of listlessness, that there's really no hope. You despair of making any progress spiritually. And it's because your eyes are off God and they're on the things of this world. What are some of the symptoms of despondency? St. John Cassian says, observe, and you will find that if you stand on your feet, despondency will battle with you. If you sit, it will suggest that it's better for you to lean back, and it urges you to lean against the wall of the cell. Then it persuades you to peep out the window by producing noises and footsteps. Of course, he's writing in a monastic context, and so when he's talking about the cell, this is the dwelling of the monk, and he should be spending his time in there in prayer when he's not resting. But instead, despondency is encouraging him to sit down, then to lean against the wall, and then it starts to make his mind wander even further. So he starts looking out the window to see, is anyone coming who I need to entertain, to show hospitality to, because his mind is not on the thing that should be first and foremost, which is this prayer life. St. Antiochus says this, while reading, he yawns frequently, is readily inclined to fall asleep, rubs his eyes, stretches out his hands, and averting his eyes from his book, stares at the walls. He resumes what he was doing previously, reads a little, opens up the book, scrutinizes the beginning and ending of various chapters, counts the pages, calculates the number of certain sections. He censures or praises the script and the decoration of the book, and then he rolls up the book, places it under his pillow, and lies down to sleep. But his sleep is not deep, for the hunger which despondency induces in him arouses his soul and does not allow him to sleep for long. After a short while, Then he arises, and he finds out what time it is by gazing intently at the sun's rays. In expectation of the mealtime, he keeps his ears pricked to hear the samantran that summons the monks to Trappist. A samantran is a piece of wood that monks traditionally hit to sort of let the other monks know that it's time for prayer, or Trappist in this case. And he says, as soon as he hears it, he becomes very eager, and he says to himself, bravo, bravo. So all of a sudden, now that he's got the energy that he didn't have when he was praying, because it's mealtime, because again, he's focused on the bodily appetites. What's the cure of despondency? St. John Climacus says, spiritual heroes come to light at the time of despondency, for nothing procures so many crowns for a monk as the battle with despondency. You should understand that this is a common problem that people have. It's one of the things that I hear most often in confession. Everyone probably struggles with it at some time or another, some people more so than others, but it's not a shame to have the struggle. But St. John Climacus says, there's great crowns that await those that engage this battle, who don't give up the fight. St. John Climacus also says, he who mourns over himself does not know despondency. And what he means by that is not that you're just beating yourself up, but that you're focusing on your sins and you're repenting. You're keeping your mind on the future life and on your salvation. You're constantly focused on repenting. If you do that, you don't know despondency. The fathers also talk about how the reading of scriptures is a great aid to overcoming despondency. It's one of the reasons why I emphasize it so much. There are so many benefits that we gain from the reading of scriptures, but this is one of them. Also, again, St. Antiochus says, set a limit for yourself in every task and do not desist until you have completed it. I think that's a very important insight, particularly in our day and age, because we have so many distractions. We've got the television, we've got radio, and of course we've got the internet. And so you might start one thing and then you think, oh, let me check my email, or let me check and see if I've got any text messages, or let's see what's on the radio right now. And so your mind wanders and you kind of never really accomplish anything when you're in that mode, because you're not focused on any one thing. And what he's saying is, if you focus on setting a reasonable goal and a limit to what you're going to try to do, and you say, during this time, I'm going to do this, I'm not going to allow myself to be distracted, and you stay focused on that task until you complete it, this will help you to overcome despondency. He also says, pray with understanding and concentration, and the spirit of despondency will flee from you. When you pray, say the words of David with understanding and feeling and contrition in your soul. Quickly hear me, O Lord, my spirit hath fainted away. Turn not thy face away from me. For the enemy hath persecuted my soul. He hath humbled my life down to the earth. He hath sat me in darkness as those that have been long dead, and my spirit within me has become despondent. Within me my heart is troubled. Forsake me not, O Lord, but look upon me and have mercy upon me, and work in me a sign unto good, and let them that hate me behold and be put to shame, for thou, O Lord, hast hoped in me and comforted me. St. Anthony the Great also struggled with despondency at one point in his spiritual life. And in the sayings of the Desert Fathers we read, while dwelling in the desert, Abba Anthony at one time fell into despondency. His thoughts became very darkened, and he said to God, Lord, I want to be saved, but my thoughts do not leave me alone. Teach me what I should do in my affliction. How am I to be saved? After rising and going a short distance outside his cell, Anthony saw someone similar to himself sitting and working, and then getting up from his work and praying, and again sitting down and plaiting a rope, for such is the handiwork with which the one who appeared to him was occupied. And again, after working for a sufficient time, standing up to pray. It was an angel of the Lord sent for Anthony's correction and reassurance. The angel said to Anthony, do thus, and you will be saved. When he heard this, Anthony was filled with great joy and confidence and cast off his despondency. He did as the angel instructed him, and in this way he was saved. We find a similar insight from St. Benedict. The phrase in Latin is ora et labora, pray and work. Particularly in our day and age, so many of us have jobs where we sit in front of a computer and we don't do any physical work. And I think that's one of the reasons why we have a tendency to fall into despondency, because exercising the body, bodily labor, is an aid against despondency. But to balance that with prayer, And I should point out that when a monk works, he doesn't stop prayer. One of the reasons why they do things like making ropes or weaving baskets or weaving a Jesus prayer rope is because those kinds of tasks are conducive to them saying the Jesus prayer while they're doing that. But in any case, they alternate. They don't stay focused on only one thing at one time, but they go back and forth, and together between those two things, one is able to save one's soul. One's able to come out of the pit of despondency. St. John Climacus says, "Let this tyrant be bound by the remembrance of your sins. Let us buffet him by manual labor. Let him be dragged forth by the thought of blessings to come. And when brought as before a tribunal, let him be duly questioned. Tell me, you nerveless, shuffling fellow, who viciously spawned you? Who are your offspring? Who are your foes? Who is your destroyer?" And despondency under compulsion may be thought to reply, "Among those who are truly obedient, I have nowhere to lay my head. But with those amongst whom I have a place for myself, I live quietly. I have many mothers, sometimes insensibility of soul, sometimes forgetfulness of the things above, sometimes excessive labor." And let me pause and just insert a comment there. Working too hard can be a reason for despondency, and sometimes we get so focused on maybe our secular jobs, or even in the spiritual life, maybe we try to do more than we're capable of doing in terms of our prayer life, and then this can lead us to despondency because we're not able to maintain it, and also we exhaust ourselves. One of the Desert Fathers says, "All that is of excess is from the demons." And that's an important thing to keep in mind. The spiritual path, the orthodox path to salvation, is one of moderation. Not going too far in any one direction, but striking a balance. And what that balance is not something that we can lay out in 5 points, because for each and every one of us, that balance is going to be slightly different. But moderation is a key to salvation. Going back to the quote, "My offspring who abides with me are changing from place to place, disobedience to one's spiritual father, forgetfulness of the judgment, and sometimes breach of the vow of monasticism in this case. And my opponents by whom I am now bound are psalmody and manual labor. My enemy is the thought of death. Prayer with firm hope of future blessings is my other death. Amen."